Okay, here's the Maisa. You ready? Okay. It starts with a very rich man, a millionaire. He had a big, beautiful house, a lot of nice things, a nice furniture. And the most beautiful thing in his house was a big chandelier hanging in the dining room from the ceiling. How many boys have a nice chandelier, a fancy light hanging down with glass or crystals or shiny metal? And it was very expensive. This man's chandelier cost $1 million. That's very expensive. It was so big, because he had a big dining room, they had to have a truck to bring it to the house. And there were 10 men that took it out from the truck. That's how big and heavy it was, and fancy schmancy. Then he brought it into the dining room, and the man said, "I would like you please to hang it up over the dining room table. But don't scratch the table, it's very expensive also." Now, the leader of the men, of the workers, he said like this, "If you're going to hang the chandelier from the ceiling, it's very heavy, it might pull down your ceiling. So what you got to do is drill a hole in the ceiling, and we're going to make a special thing to put in the ceiling. But to make sure that it doesn't fall, we'll connect it higher than the ceiling. Do you have an attic?" they asked the man. An attic is like a room above the ceiling, like a second floor room. So the man said, "You go up the stairs, and above the stairs you'll find a door, and you come out on a room that's higher than the ceiling, and over there you could work." Okay, so they climbed up, they drilled a hole in the ceiling, they put up the chandelier, and they took a rope, and they tied the top of the chandelier, they pulled the rope higher than the ceiling into the room, and they wound it around a very strong pipe. So the rope was holding up the chandelier from up on top, and it was also plugged into the ceiling. The most of the strength holding the chandelier was the rope that was around the pipe in the attic. You got it? Okay. The man looked at the beautiful chandelier after they left, after they put it up, and he says, "It's so beautiful. It's gorgeous. I would like to show it to my friends. In fact, I think I'm going to make a special party tonight, and I'm going to make a dinner. I'll call up my friends, they should bring their wives, they should bring their families, and we'll have a beautiful dinner in our dining room, and I'll put on the chandelier." Everybody will say, "Oh, a beautiful chandelier." And that way, everyone's going to see it. And so he called up a lot of his friends, and he invited them to supper. They were all excited. Everyone came that he invited. And he had a cook in the kitchen make fancy chasana food, delicious things. And they served the best plates and forks, silverware and glasses, the best tablecloth. And the women came dressed up in their fancy schmancy clothes. And the men put on their fancy schmancy suits. And the kiddies put on the good clothes and some neckties and some bow ties, and there was a very nice party going on. As the party was going on, a little boy passed by outside dressed in shmatis, a poor beggar boy. And he heard the noise, and he looked inside from the street. He just saw through the window. He saw all his food on the table, and he smelled the food, and he was a beggar, he was starving, he was so hungry. He thought to himself, "Oy, I wish I had some food, I'm so hungry. And look at how they're dressed up so nice, I wish I had some clothes. They're so lucky they have food and clothes. I don't have food, I don't have clothes." He thought to himself, "Maybe if I ask, they'll give me some food and clothes. Doesn't hurt to ask. After all, there's so much extra food they'll give me. Maybe, who knows, maybe there's some extra clothes in the house too. It's a rich person there." then the little boy decided he's going to try, and he walked to the door, and he knocked on the door, and the servant came. "Yes, little boy, what do you want?" "Do you think I could have some food and clothes, please? I'm hungry, and I need some clothes." And the servant went to the balabas, to the owner of the house, and he said, "What's going on?" He told him what happened with the boy by the door. And the balabas looked at the boy, and he goes over to the boy and says, "Look, you're going to sit down by a table in the kitchen, and we're going to feed you. We'll give you good food. And after that, go upstairs in the attic. I'll show you where the door is. And over there is a shelf, and it's full of clothes. There's a lot of boys' clothes that used to belong to my boys when they were small, and you can take as many clothes as you want. But remember one thing. Don't touch anything else in the attic. There's other things up there. But I don't have time to explain to you everything that's in the attic. Just remember, only take the clothes and don't touch anything else in the attic. Alright? Okay, the little boy says, "I won't touch anything else in the attic. I'll just take the clothes." Okay? They took him to the kitchen. They gave him delicious food. He was so happy. They took him to the door up to the attic. The servant turned on the light, and the boy climbs up the door, climbs up the stairs and goes in the attic. And he finds the shelf, and it's full of clothes. He takes pants, and he takes shirts, and he takes some sweaters, and he takes shirts, takes all kinds of good things, a whole handful, a whole armful, as much as he could carry. And then he started to go down the stairs to take it where he stays, where he lives. But he took one step and a shirt fell down. He took another step and some pants fell down. He took another step and a sweater fell off. Because he had so much, he couldn't carry it all. It kept falling. Clothes are, they're loose. They're loose. Maybe he got socks and shoes also. They for sure fell down. The little boy said, "I need a bag or something. I need something to put all this stuff in. There's something to keep it all together." He looked around the attic for a bag. He didn't see a bag. All of a sudden he sees, "Hey, look, there's a whole bunch of rope. There's some rope. And it's all wound around a pipe. Look, it's not doing anything, that rope. I should cut a piece of rope. I'll tie the clothes together. Everything will stay together, and I can even use the rope like a handle, and I'll take it home. I don't have a bag, I'll use the rope." Now, hanging on a nail on the wall, there was a big knife. "Hey, with that knife, I can cut the rope, and then I can tie around the clothes." But a little voice came into his head and says, "Listen, the man said, don't touch anything in the attic, only the clothes. He didn't give you permission to touch the knife or take any rope. You're not allowed to take any rope, so you better not take any." Another voice came in his head, "Ah, what's a little rope? What's the big deal? I don't have permission, but I'll take some anyway, even though I don't have permission. What's the big deal if I take a little rope?" But the other voice said, "Listen, maybe it's a big deal. You don't know. You don't have permission to take any rope, so you better not take any rope." And the other voice says, "Ah, that's the big deal. I took clothes, so I'll also take some rope." And of course we know one voice is the Yetzer Tov, that's the good voice, but the other voice that wants to do something without permission is the Yetzer Hara, which you're not supposed to listen to. And it makes everything look like what's the big deal, but we're going to see what is the big deal. The boy decided he's going to take some of the rope because he figured out it's a little thing. It's a little few pennies of rope. What's the big deal? He took the knife. He cut the rope. And all of a sudden, He hears a crash. He hears breaking glass. And he hears screaming. And he hears so much noise. Hey, what happened? What's all that noise I hear? What's all that screaming? What's going on? And all of a sudden, he hears a lot of footsteps running up the stairs and screaming, little boy, what did you do? What did you do? What terrible thing did you do? The little boy says, oh, what do you mean? I just took a little rope. That's all I did. It's no big deal. A little rope I took. And they grabbed the little boy's hand and they said, you come downstairs and you look what you did. And the little boy came down the stairs. And he couldn't believe his eyes that he saw such a big, tremendous mess. He saw a big, gigantic table broken in the middle. And a big chandelier was on the table, smashed on the floor. The chandelier must have fallen from the ceiling when he cut the rope, because the rope was hanging up, was holding up the chandelier. The chandelier fell down because it was so heavy. It hit the beautiful dining room table, and it smashed it in two, and it broke in the middle. And what happened? All the dishes and all the food, they fell down the table, and they fell off on the floor, and they fell into the middle, and the dishes were broken, and the food spilled out. Now, a lot of people were sitting around the table. Baruch Hashem, nobody was hurt. But the soup and the kugel started to fly all around when the table broke, and the women's dresses were full of ketchup, and was full of spaghetti sauce, and was full of mustard, and there was pickles on the ceiling, and there was juice all over the walls. Instead of nice, beautiful walls painted, there was juice, and there was soda spritzed all over the walls, and all over the dresses. There was salad that was covering all over the place, and everywhere was food flying around that had flown around and was sticking to the wallpaper. Tomatoes on the wallpaper. String beans on the ceiling. The clothes were ruined. The dishes were broken. And all of this from one rope. And that day, the little boy learned a very big lesson. Sometimes you think a thing is a very small thing, it ends up to be a very big thing. You don't know sometimes. Ah, it's a big deal. What's a big deal? That's a whole thing. Sometimes a little small thing turns out to be a very big thing. Once there was a boat next to the lake. The paint was coming off and it wasn't looking so nice, this boat. The family hadn't used it for a while. There was a family that lived right next to the lake, and this was their own boat. And one day the Tati looked out the window in the morning and he saw the boat and he says, look, it really needs to get painted. I don't have the time to do it, and my kids are really too small to paint the boat, and my older son really doesn't have time to paint the boat. Next door, we have a neighbor, Shmuley. Now, Shmuley is home, and he hasn't started school yet. He's starting school next week. Maybe I'm going to ask Shmuley to paint the boat, and I'll pay him $10. So the man took a can of paint and a paintbrush, and he went next door to Shmuley, and he said, Shmuley, you're a big boy, and maybe you have the time today. Could you please paint the boat? I'll pay you $10. And Shmuley said, okay, fine. I'll do it for you. Shmuley took the paint, and he painted the boat. He sanded it down, and he painted it. And as he was painting the boat that day, on the floor of the boat, he found a hole. He was about to paint over the hole, and he says to himself, look, this is dangerous over here.
like in the other story, if there's a hole in a boat, the water can come up and the boat can sink. Maybe I should fix the hole. To fix the hole, I have to get a can of putty. It's like a clay. And I have to stick it in there. And I have to smoothen it out and wait for it to dry. Now, maybe it's going to cost me about $1 to do that. In fact, we have some putty in the garage. I'll put that in there. Maybe I shouldn't fix the hole. Nobody asked me to fix it. He only asked me to paint the boat. Did he ask me to fix the hole? Was I asked to fix the hole? No. But I know by myself that I really should fix the hole. So should I do something a little bit extra and fix the hole? He says, you know, I better do that. Even though nobody asked me to do it, I know it's right. I know it should be done. It's not going to be such a big deal. So he went to his garage. He got a can of this stuff like clay. He put it in the hole. He waited for it to dry for a while. He went and did something else. Then he came back and he painted the boat. And now the boat was painted. It dried very fast. Later on, the kids came home from school. They looked out the window. They lived next to the lake. This wasn't just a bungalow. They lived there. They saw their boat. Hey, look! The boat is all painted. It's so beautiful. And the big brother came home. Hey, look! The boat is all painted. Somebody painted our boat today. Let's take it out in the lake for a ride. Come on, kids! Everybody in the boat! The little kids got in the boat. The big boy got into the boat. And they took it out into the lake. That afternoon, Tati was at work. He was about to go home, and Mommy was shopping. All of a sudden, Tati remembers, "Oy vey, wait a minute. There's a hole in the boat. I forgot all about it. I told Shmuley to paint the boat, and I forgot about the hole. Oy vey, if the boat is painted, the kids will come home. They'll see the boat. They'll think everything is fine. They'll take it out in the water. And the little kids don't know how to swim. Chas v'shalom, if they're out in the boat in the middle of the lake, the boat could sink and the kids could, chas v'shalom, drown. Oy vey, what a mess." He picked up the telephone and he wants to call home to tell them not to go out on the boat. The phone is ringing and ringing. Nobody answers. "Oh no! Maybe they're out in the boat already. Nobody's answering the phone. And my wife is shopping. She's not home to stop it. Oh, I'll call Shmuley's house. He'll go out and he'll stop them." He called Shmuley's house and nobody was home. They went off somewhere. The Tati got in his car and he's racing home to stop, God forbid, any accident that will happen with that boat. And he's driving, he's so nervous, he's schwitzing. Finally, he gets home, and he sees out in the middle of the lake, the boat, and he sees the kids. "Oh no, they're in the boat, in the middle of the lake. I better go out and save them before anything happens." And he took off his jacket, and with his clothes, and he jumped into the lake, the Tati, and he swims out in the lake. To the boat, and he gets to the boat, and the kids see, "Hey, Tati, how come you're swimming in your clothes? I'm going to save you, kids. I'm going to save you." "What do you mean save us? Everything is fine. Come in the boat with us. You don't have to save us from anything. We'll save you. Look at you. You're all wet. You're full of water with your clothes and everything." And the Tati got in the boat. He says, "Look, the boat is fine. Wait a minute, there was a hole over here." He looked down at the hole. "Hey, it's fixed. Shmuley fixed the hole." He had enough seichel that he should fix the hole before he painted it. And even though I didn't tell him, he did it by himself. "I'm so happy. You don't know what kind of an accident could have happened if he wouldn't have fixed the hole." They brought back the boat. And the car by Shmuley's house pulled up and the family came out. Shmuley came home and the Tati says, "Now I'm going to go and pay Shmuley for what he did." And he went over to Shmuley's house. And he says, Shmuley, I want to pay you for what you did with the boat. And he took out of his pocket $100. And he gave it to Shmuley, $100. Shmuley says, wait a minute. You didn't say you're going to pay me $100. It's just $10. What's $100 for? I painted the boat. So it's $10. And the Tati says, Shmuley, you didn't just paint the boat. You did something extra, right? Oh, yeah, the hole. I fixed the hole. I figured I might as well. It's a small thing, so I might as well fix the hole. And the Tati says, Shmuley, that small thing wasn't just a small thing. That was a very big thing. Because if you wouldn't have done that, chas v'shalom, what could have happened to my kids who took the boat out into the lake? So this little small thing that you did happened to be a very big thing. So we have two stories. One story is a small aveda could be a very big aveda. And the other story is a small mitzvah could be a very big mitzvah. Okay? A kinilav, long time ago, there lived a little boy on a farm. And this little boy used to help his tati take care of the chickens and take care of the cows and get eggs from the chickens and milk the cows and pick the apples and all the farm kind of things. And he really did not have too much time to learn Torah, even though Tati tried every once in a while to teach him as much as he could. But he knew a little bit. But this boy, since he was a little boy, he never left the farm. He only stayed on the farm. He never went into the big city. He knew his Tati went in every once in a while to go shopping in the big city and to take things from the farm to go sell in the big city. And the little boy asked, Tati, when can I go with you to the big city? I never saw the big city. And one day, Tati said, little boy, tomorrow morning I'm going to the big city. And you know who I'm going to take along with me? I'm going to take you to the big city. Oh boy, Tati, I'm so excited. I want to go to the big city with you. And the next morning, Tati brought up the wagon and they loaded up the things that they have to take to the big city. They loaded up a bag of apples and they loaded up a carton of eggs and they loaded up a bag of wheat and other things that they have to take, milk from the farm to go to take to the city. Little boy looked around, kind of looked for the first time and saw all the things in the city. All of a sudden, he hears a horn. Doo, doo. Tati, what's that horn that I hear? I don't know what that is. Oh, Tati says, there must be a fire. A fire? You mean a fire makes it sound like a horn? No. The horn is a sound, in case there's a fire, it tells everybody there's a fire, and everybody has to go put it out. Because if they don't put it out, and the fire gets bigger and bigger, it could burn down the whole city. And the little boy saw everybody's running through the streets, and he sees there's a fire on one of the streets, he saw the smoke and the fire, and everybody's running, and they get buckets of water from the river, and they're passing it one to the other, and then they're dumping the water on the fire and they're putting it out, and everybody went to help, and finally they got the fire out. And later on the boy said, Ta, that was a very special horn, because they blew the horn and the fire went out. What a horn that was. Tati says, well, remember, son, the horn only told everybody there's a fire, and in case somebody's sleeping, they woke up. In case somebody was in the store, they came out. In case somebody was maybe in the backyard, he came running out. And the horn just told everybody they have to get busy to put out the fire. Yeah, Ta. Right, the horn, they blew the horn and it put out the fire. No, son. They blew the horn, it got everybody to be very, very busy, and it told everybody there's a fire, and everybody got busy to put out the fire. That's what the horn did. Oh yeah, Ta, I understand. Remember, the boy wasn't too smart because he didn't learn too much Torah yet. Well, Kinelach, the whole day, the little boy and the Tati were busy selling things and buying things for the family. At the end of the day, Tati said to the little boy, he says, son, today you were a very good boy, and I think that you deserve a prize to take home from the big city. How would you like to go into a store and pick yourself out a prize, because you were a very big help to Tati? Oh, good, Ta, let's go to the store. They went into a store that had a lot of different kind of things, and the boy looked around to see what he would like to pick for a prize. All of a sudden, on the wall, he saw hanging up a horn. A horn that you blow. Hey, Ta, isn't that the kind of horn they blow for the fire? And Ta says, yeah, that's a horn they blow for the fire. Oh, Ta, that's what I want for a prize. I want you to buy me the kind of horn they blow for a fire. Okay. So Tati bought him the horn, took it down, he put it into the box, and the little boy took his horn and he held it as they went on the wagon all the way home to the farm. And he was so excited, I can hardly wait to show my friends how this horn works. Well, they got back late at night and he went schlucky. The next morning, he called all of his friends together over to the farm and he said, look boys, I got such a special horn. You never saw such a thing in your whole life, the kind of horn that Tati bought me in the big city. It's a fire horn. And you know what it does? It puts out fires. What? The friend said, what do you mean? A horn puts out fires? Oh, come on. Horns don't put out fires. Oh, yeah. In the big city it sure does. A horn puts out a fire. And I'll show you. And what I'm going to tell you now, Kinelach, is a part of the story, but never you try it. Over there in those days, on the houses was a roof that was made out of dried straw. And it was a very, very dry roof, and it could burn very, very easily. He walked over to one of the houses, and over in that house, there was a lot of tools and a lot of different things. It was like a garage kind of a house. And it had one of those roofs made out of dried grass. And the house itself was made out of wood. And he went over there and he got a box of matches. He lit a match. Don't you do this. Shouldn't light any matches unless mommy gives you permission. And she's watching you. Or Tati. Yeah, but they have to be there with you. Never light a match unless an adult gives you permission and he's watching with you. Otherwise, this could happen. He put the match to the roof and he started a fire and the house started to burn. And his friend said, what are you doing? You made a big fire on the roof of the house. It's going to burn down. And the little boy, who wasn't so smart, he says, oh, it's not going to burn down. I'm going to blow my horn and it's going to put out the fire, just like in the big city. And the boy took his horn. He says, watch. And all the boys looked at the fire. And instead of going out, it got bigger. It was still burning. The boy said, hey, what's wrong? It's supposed to go out. Maybe I better blow it a little bit harder. Well, Kinelach, the fire got bigger, and the fire got bigger, until the house was burning down. Finally, the big adults saw what was happening, and they ran, and they got water, and they put out the fire. And they said to the little boy, what did you do that you lit such a fire? Why did you start a fire? I don't know what wrong. I was only going to write the fight to show how the horn puts it out. Why didn't it go out? I don't understand. In the big city, the fire went out when they blew the horn.
No.
And the Tati said, remember what I told you. The horn only tells everybody get busy. And you have to work to put out the fire. Not that the horn itself puts out the fire. The horn only says, wake up, get busy, and get going to put out the fire. But it's really the water that puts out the fire. Now, this is a Tshuva story and an Elul story and a Shofar story.